Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry, clean feel all day.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Matt Ryan, what do you think he's thinking about right now?
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
But the major thing is the Indianapolis Colts now have a new starting quarterback.
I unfortunately think it's unfair to Matt because, A, I don't think he was playing so bad that it was benchable.
Today's guests: Seahawks wide receiver Tyler Lockett, ESPN MLB insider Jeff Passan, Pro Football Hall of Famer Brian Dawkins, New York Times best-selling author Jeff Pearlman, and now it's Rich Eisen.
Can confirm, sources say, show me. There I am. I've always wanted to start a show that way.
There I is.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Who do you think you are?
I did it the other day. Paige was repeating it. It was the funniest thing ever. I still think you should introduce yourself like Killer used to.
Ready to roll on the Rich Eisen Show.
Oh, yeah, little Dorf starting your day.
I had to drop that.
Little Steven Dorf.
We need to play more of those.
I know.
All right, welcome to the program. That's one way to start it here on this busy Thursday.
What's up?
Good to see you, Chris Brockman. How are you?
Great.
Wow, you gotta think about that.
No, I'm great, Rich. The Lakers are 0-4. That means I'm up so much money to start the season because I'm betting against them every
Lakers
single game.
And
it's awesome. I'm excited.
0-4. DJ Mikey D is in D's nuts. You're undefeated.
I'm
you're caffeinated and undefeated.
Yes.
Caffeinated and undefeated.
I'm really caffeinated.
Light the candle, TJ Jefferson. Light the candle. You're here in Los Angeles, California, where Kawhi Leonard's rehabbing his knee already.
I mean, look, you know.
We're not laughing at Kawhi. We're laughing at TJ.
Who cares? Like I tried to say, I'd rather have a healthy Kawhi in May and June than a healthy Kawhi in October and November.
Sense. Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, sure. You know, why not?
By the way, I felt real old last night. I went to a movie at 6 o'clock, and I never felt older in my entire life.
Did you have dinner beforehand?
Yeah,
did you go get a nice dinner beforehand,
what
TJ?
What happened? TJ Jefferson used to dance on tables at the hottest clubs in L.A., and now I'm going to a movie at 6.
What movie did you see at 6?
This movie, Barbarian, man. It's about this girl who rents an Airbnb in Detroit, and then she gets there and there's someone already there. And let me tell you something. It was the most frustrating movie I've seen in a long time.
Did you cut a kid off at the popcorn line going to see some sort of Pixar movie, whatever's out right now?
I did not, but there was one.
You're proud of yourself?
There was one bag of Sour Patch Kids left, and I kind of hip-checked this kid who was reaching for
himself.
Attaboy.
All right. Attaboy.
Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show.
We're back.
I'm old is what I'm saying, guys.
We've got ourselves a very nice guest list coming up on this program in 17 minutes' time. Is one of the most thoughtful players in the NFL who we and if you've not heard him interviewed on this program, he's always just a deep thinker and is a straight shooter and a good dude. And he is Tyler Lockett of your NFC West leading Seattle Seahawks. And he's coming on this program. I can't wait to hear his thoughts on this surprising start. And it is that.
Yeah,
we're
in
week 8.
Yeah, it's surprising.
Of the NFL season in 2022, and the biggest, I would say, let me just go in the head before I finish my thought here. I know the Vikings are 5-1, but there were a bunch of people that thought that Minnesota could win that division this year, that no Davante Adams, and that the Packers would be struggling as they are entering week 8.
The playmaker was high on
Seattle. Nobody had Seattle being above 500, let alone leading a division through 7 weeks going into week 8. So we're going to talk to Tyler Lockett, who's taking on another surprise team through the first 7 weeks because they've only lost once. And that usually was, in recent years, the home opener or the week 1 opener for the New York Giants. They're 6-1. Great game on the week 8 docket that begins tonight. We'll hit that with Tyler Lockett.
The only game between winning teams?
In week 8?
I believe so.
Is that right? Well, we'll check that out. We'll check your math on that, but it's entirely possible. Yeah, I mean, the Jets are the winning team, not New England. Okay. So,
yeah, no, I'm correct. That's the only team game on the docket between the winning teams.
So Tyler Lockett will join us on this program, and Brian Dawkins will join us on this program as the undefeated Eagles come back from their bye, and they've got a new player in Robert Quinn from the Chicago Bears. We'll hit on that subject matter with Brian Dawkins. I'll give you my two cents on the trade as well. The World Series begins tomorrow night, don't you know?
Let's go Mets.
No, they're not in it.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Wow. The team in the division's in it, though.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened.
And it was, and it's not the defending World Series champion of Braves, who aren't defending much but their couch today.
Ring the bell.
Philadelphia Phillies are in Houston to take on the Houston Astros. And the subject matter I'm talking about with Jeff Passan will obviously be the World Series, but of the piece he put out there in the ether on the internet tubes yesterday when he followed around Aaron Judge for a portion of his home run chase. And Aaron Judge and the Yankees, by the way, I just made sure to make sure check on it. They're not in the World Series. They didn't. Their last win in the playoffs was the one that eliminated the Cleveland Guardians and got them to the ALCS, which they were swept out of by Dusty Baker's Houston Astros, who are terrific, have not yet lost a playoff game going into the World Series.
Crazy.
In 2022. So lots to talk about with Jeff Passan. And then in the third hour, this book right here is awesome. I'm reading it right now. The Last Folk Hero, The Life and Myth of Bo Jackson. Jeff Perlman's in studio. And Jeff Perlman's last book, or was it his most recent book? I think it was. His most recent book got turned into a series with HBO called Winning Time. And he had another book on the Lakers. Pardon me. That might be turned into something else as well. But we'll talk Winning Time with Jeff Perlman. We'll talk about Bo Jackson with Jeff Perlman. He wrote the book on Barry Bonds, so we'll talk Judge and Bonds with Jeff Perlman. Hour number three is going to be dynamite. I wouldn't miss it. So we're right here on the Roku Channel 210, this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Odyssey, our podcast. There's no way to avoid us, quite frankly. Tonight, by the end of tonight, Tom Brady may be something he's never been in the NFL. And I would proffer to say not as a collegiate player either. And that is two games under 500. That's never happened. The only time Brady has awakened in the morning of an NFL week that he knew he was going to be the starting quarterback of a team that was two games under 500 was the New England Patriots in the year that Mo Lewis blew up Drew Bledsoe's innards, put Brady on the field, and began the remarkable run that takes us all the way to Week 8, 2022, tonight on Prime Video, Bucks hosting the Ravens. They were 2-4, but as we all know, Brady trotted in from the sideline in Week 2 against the Jets, and so the 2-4 record was not all on his docket. He's never, ever, ever been a starting quarterback two games under 500 on a season. That's never happened, and that can happen tonight, and I got to tell you, it sure looks like he's going to be by the end of the night.
How's that possible?
Oh, really? You think?
How is that possible to
never be that?
Wow.
I mean, 20 years.
It is remarkable.
It's incredible.
That's never happened.
That's why it's the best ever.
But the reason why I say it looks like that's going to be the case tonight is they were on a short week. They just lost to a team on an interim head coach. They just lost to a team whose locker room had to feel the effects of Christian McCaffrey being traded away and watching him show up in Santa Clara, beaming ear to ear, saying it's great to be here. I'm gone from a spot with an interim head coach and no discernible long-term future at quarterback, with all due respect to all three of them that are there in Carolina. They just lost to a team that had hardly a full half a building. I want to be kind of optimistic. That building wasn't even half full.
You're going to be pushed back for a second.
And they just lost to that team by 18.
Yes, but if Mike Evans catches that pass, do you think the Bucs win the game?
If Mac Jones didn't have a sprained ankle all season long, do you think the Patriots would be 3-4?
This is really specific, though. If Mike Evans catches that pass,
well, certainly they have a touchdown in the game. It's 7-0.
It's there now. They're rolling. The confidence is there. It's not like, oh man, the sky isn't falling.
But he dropped the pass, didn't he?
But I'm just asking you a question.
Of course, things could have been different. Of course, if he goes deep tonight and somehow takes the top of the Ravens defense off tonight and it's 7-0 right off the bat, but they're still 3 3/3 of three quarters of a game to go, and they haven't been able to put a damn thing together. Okay. And here come the Ravens tonight, and they
Lamar,
as we know, have considerable talent to push pressure up the middle on Tom Brady, stop the run on the way to Brady. And Lamar Jackson hasn't put something together since, what, the first half, first three quarters of that loss against Miami? When he put together a game where, had the Ravens finished that game, had the Ravens finished that game with a win back in week two, they'd have been 2-0, and we wouldn't talk about him as an MVP quarterback. Sure, he's the only quarterback to have beaten Buffalo this year. I get it. Game against Cincinnati, Justin Tucker split the uprights right at the buzzer. They lost against the Giants. They needed to hold on for dear life against Cleveland. Ravens also have something that they need to put together in a division that Cincinnati is now surging in. And the week finishes up with Cincinnati and Cleveland, as we talked about with yesterday's first guest, Joe Burrow. I'm genuinely nervous for the Bucs tonight. Good news for them, though, is their division is not anything to write home about. That even if Atlanta does beat Carolina this week and does emerge from week 8 a game in front of the Bucs, because the Bucs are 3-5 and Brady's two games under 500 for the first time, they could easily win the division and host a playoff game and somehow, some way, put something together to go on some magical run for Brady. But tonight will be all about Brady, and my apologies on behalf of everyone on Prime Video in advance to everybody in Baltimore. There will be times tonight, if you do watch their pregame show, and I don't have their rundown, and I'm sure they do have things in it to balance out the coverage, but Ravens fans, you will be sitting around tonight wondering, is there a second team in this game? We're talking about Tom Brady at 3-4. We're talking about Tom Brady potentially being what he's never been in the NFL, which is two games under 500, quarterbacking a team from start to finish. It's never happened. And the defense got punked by Dante Foreman and by Chuba Hubbard. Now here comes Gus Edwards, healthy, and Lamar Jackson coming at you.
And the Drake.
And the Drake. Don't forget the Drake Hotel, which is definitely part of the Mission Impossible movie.
Nice.
But I know, seriously, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Drake can put
there,
his stamp
man.
On,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm very concerned about the Bucs this evening. And I'm leaning towards taking the Ravens in this one tonight. They're the better football team. Even if Mark Andrews doesn't play.
Don't you feel like Tom's going to pull us out somehow?
And that's why you came on you came on the set today and you're like, what? You told me what's going on with the Bucs?
Yeah, there's a weird line movement. So this game opened and the Ravens were a point, point and a half, depending on, you know, wherever. And now the Bucs are 2-point favorites. Like, that is really strange.
If I had to peg it on anything, you know I don't have my head in the game on that front. Or know how it operates. But if I had to guess, it's basically what I just said.
Yeah.
You're just banking on the fact that Brady's not going to lose this game because he's never been two games under 500 as a quarterback.
Ever. Has he ever lost three in a row?
I think he has.
Okay.
I need to look that up.
Yeah, yeah. But I think that's something out there.
It's possible he hasn't either.
If it's never, it's only like once. So, that's, you know. Something's got
to
give.
It has to be in one of those. Maybe it could be in that 0-2 Patriots season where they
kind of the only.
They didn't follow up strong.
Yeah. I'll check it check.
So lots to discuss today, certainly with that trade, the Eagles being aggressive. Getting Robert Quinn for this 6-0 team coming off a bye week, taking on the Steelers. So I've got a couple of cents on that subject matter. And if you didn't see it, we'll play the soundbite of Roquan Smith of the Bears being told Robert Quinn has been traded away while he's on the podium, he found out, and couldn't keep it together. That's a remarkable moment. We'll play that. Bill Belichick has chimed in on the health of Mac Jones today.
I'm just seeing the
quotes. He said
quotes.
He wanted to see what happened yesterday. Oh, can't wait. I mean, God bless Belichick for somebody who doesn't apparently has the MO of not wanting to talk to the media. He talked to the media on Monday night. He talked to the media yesterday morning, and he spoke again today. He is available, man.
Yeah.
And so I'm proud to say this does reek of a Bill Belichick press conference moment. We'll see if we can put that all together for you. Oh, we're already on it. Fantastic. Thank you, Mr. Hoskins.
Great. Rich, Tom Brady lost four in a row in 2002. Yeah.
There you go.
One time.
But even then, he wasn't two games under 500.
No, because they started the season 3-0.
Unreal, right?
And then they lost the next four.
Even then.
Yeah.
Never so again. That was the last time he was 3-4 was 2002. And then they won the next game. And he's never been two games under 500.
That's insane.
Didn't happen to Michigan either.
I love the way you always throw that in.
Oh, dude, I am so psyched for this weekend. You have no idea.
Oh, we have an idea because you told us.
Oh, yeah.
Rich, that line's moving too.
Uh-oh.
Well, let's talk about it because I got Tyler Lockett and then I've got Aaron Rodgers spoke yesterday. I mean, basically, it is a new thing. He speaks to Pat Tuesday, and then he speaks to everyone else about what he told Pat Tuesday. That's the new cycle.
It is.
So we'll take a break. Tyler Lockett of the Seattle Seahawks. Can't wait to chat with the wide receiver of the NFC West leading Seattle Seahawks. It's not Cooper Kupp. It's not Deebo Samuel. It's Tyler Lockett. This message is sponsored by Discover. Did you know you could reduce the number of unwanted calls and emails with online privacy protection? The latest innovation from Discover. Discover will help regularly remove your personal info, like your name and address, from 10 popular people search websites that could sell your data. And they'll do it for free. Activate in the Discover app. See terms and learn more at discover.com/onlineprivacy protection.
Influencer. It's a word that gets tossed around a lot these days. There is a woman who went the distance, who broke ground as the first true influencer by living a remarkable life. Her name, Elizabeth Taylor. I'm Katy Perry. This is the story of the original influencer. This is Elizabeth the First. Elizabeth the First, the podcast, wherever you listen.
When you open up a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van, you're opening up more than just doors. You're unlocking potential, folks, to do your own thing and be your own boss and steer your own success and blaze your own trail. Each one of these Sprinter vans I've been telling you about all season long has been built, designed, and equipped to let you hit the open road, take on any goal you set to help you follow your own passions, reawaken that spirit adventure, and check all those big, bold, fun, and exciting experiences off your bucket list. When you own a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van, you live, work, and play out your dreams. No matter how far off the beaten path they'll take you, you have 16 body types to choose from. You can choose between a gas or a diesel engine, and you can customize it in thousands of ways. A Sprinter van is so capable and versatile, it'll help you drive your ambitions wherever you want to take them. So now's the time to discover what it is that moves you most. Don't wait. Unlock your potential inside a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter. And joining us right now on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line is a wide receiver of the division leader in the NFC West. I'm not talking about DeAndre Hopkins.
No.
Not talking about Deebo Samuel.
No.
Not talking about Cooper Kupp.
No.
Talking about Tyler Lockett of the Seattle Seahawks joining me right here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you doing, Tyler?
Doing pretty good. How you been?
You've been in the league for 8 years now?
Yeah. Doesn't seem like it.
Wow. You're an OG.
Yeah, something like that.
You are. Certainly compared to some of your new teammates. No question about it.
Yeah, I still feel like I look the youngest, but when it comes to the age, I'm definitely one of the oldest.
So what is your role, do you feel, in the locker room on this team, Tyler?
I mean, I think the biggest thing when it comes to my role is just making sure that everybody's on the same page, being able to keep everything balanced, not getting too high, not getting too low, but just being able to stay steadfast, like, through everything.
Okay. And what did you know about Geno Smith and this offense that the rest of the league has learned over the first 7-plus weeks of the season?
Well, I mean, I thought Geno was really good for what it was that that we were trying to be able to accomplish. I think that when Geno came in, like, we've seen the tools that he has. We've seen what he could be able to do. And, you know, I just think that the things that Geno and Shane have talked about, the things that they've been trying to build to get, like, build up, I think it's really helped us as an offense. And I think it's something that everybody's able to see. Geno's done a great job just building that chemistry with each and every one of us at receiver, kind of talking to us about how he sees things out there on the field, how him and Shane are trying to attack defenses each and every week. And so all that stuff is just playing into all of Geno's strengths. And I think it's really helping us out as a team. And, you know, he's been leading us to victory.
I like to pull on that string a little bit more. What do you mean he's talking to you and the rest of the receiving core about his vision and what the vision is? You mentioned Shane Waldron's the offensive coordinator in his second year there in Seattle. What do you mean? Give me an example of those conversations, if you don't mind.
Well, I mean, a lot of it is just breaking down defenses, understanding how we want to attack defenses, but not only that, but how we want to attack certain players, making sure we're on the same page when it comes to how to run certain routes against certain players, understanding how those players are going to be able to attack us, understanding, like, the routes that we might like to run against the corners or the throws that Geno might want to be able to throw against the corners, and understanding that, you know, no matter who's out there, we're still going to attack each and every person the same based off of the plan that we build each and every week.
So it's a more of a week-to-week thing is what you're saying, not some sort of philosophical sit-down conversation is what you're saying.
Yeah.
With him.
Yeah, everything is more so week-to-week. But, you know, but I mean, the biggest thing that, you know, Geno has really helped us with just this year, with just our philosophy and everything we're trying to accomplish, is being able to get those third downs. Like, the more and more we're able to get those third downs, the more and more plays we can be able to run. Like, the first two or three games, I think we averaged about 47 plays, which was last in the NFL. And the last couple of games, man, we've been able to run a whole lot of plays. And so when we can stay on the field as an offense, we can run the ball, we can do play actions, we can throw the ball. There's a lot of different things that we can do, and I think we're showing a lot of variety in our offense, which is definitely what I think that Shane and Geno wanted to be able to do this year.
Yeah, and I had Geno on before week one, Tyler Lockett, and he said, don't call this a comeback story, is what he said. Don't call it a comeback story. He says, I've been just fine, and I've got an opportunity here, and I plan to take it. That's what he said. Is that what he said to you guys, too, prior to the season?
No, he didn't have to say that to us because we knew what Geno could do. I mean, you know, it was mostly a lot of people on the outside who didn't know what Geno could be able to do, but even when Geno played in those three games last year, like, everybody saw what he was able to do, and we were able to build that chemistry with Geno. You know, early on when Geno wasn't the starter, I mean, a lot of times we never get a chance to go with him or throw with him. And so just during that 3.5 game span, like, we learned how to build chemistry with him. We learned how to talk more football with him. Like, you know, we got to build a lot of that stuff that not too many players get to build with quarterbacks who are, you know, backing up a superstar. And so when we had that opportunity to first learn how to play with Geno, it took us some time. But, you know, after we were able to kind of talk with him and learn how to play with each other, then going into this game, when they named him the starter, I mean, it became a lot more easier because there was we were very familiar mm-hmm. with everything that was going on because we got to play with him a little bit last year.
Tyler Lockett, eighth year in the NFL for the 4-3 NFC West leading Seattle Seahawks here on the Rich Eisen Show. I'm a Michigan Wolverine, Tyler, so I know and knew coming into the season what Kenneth Walker III can do running the football. I think he just scored his 19th touchdown against Michigan from that game last year while he was running for 180-plus yards for your team this past week. What have you seen out of the rookie that makes you think that he's got the lasting power that I believe he has, but I just want to give you the floor on it?
Man, I just think the dude is an amazing star. You know, definitely a star in the making. I think the biggest thing is just opportunities. And now that he's gotten a chance to showcase his opportunities, I mean, he has a stop and start. He's patient. He has the burst. He has the speed. He has everything that you want when looking at a player. And when you understand, like, the things that you want, I mean, shoot, it's not hard to be able to get him the ball and put him in positions to be able to make plays. You know, we gave him a jet sweep. He ran around the whole entire field doing whatever he wanted. You know, we're starting to hand him the ball off in the backfield. He's making big-time plays, giving us chances to be able to win games or close games out. And so, I mean, I think he's going to be an amazing player, man.
And then you got Tariq Woolen out of UT San Antonio, a fifth-round choice, leading as a rookie on defense. I mean, you've been around this team for quite some time, Tyler, and you know what it looks like to have a championship-quality team and certainly a division-winning team. You think you have one on your hands now? What do you think?
I definitely do. I think, I mean, we knew that when we first started, you know, and that's the biggest thing is that you keep everything in-house. You try to focus on what's in-house. You try to build on what's in-house, and you try to build each other up and continue to get better in-house. Everybody on the outside has their own opinions, but, you know, each week things change. You know, they were talking bad about us at the beginning of the season. Now everybody's starting to open up their eyes and talk good about us. But, I mean, we already knew that we had a great team. When you look at Tariq and everything that he's done, I mean, he's a rookie coming in and he's playing as if he's a vet. He's making big-time plays, allowing us to be able to keep their offenses off the field and allow us to be able to stay on the field. He's been D'ing up a lot of guys. Like, same with Kobe Bryant. Like, we have a lot of rookies that want to play this game. You know what I mean? That's, like, it's hard when you come into the league as a rookie because so many people get distracted by the lifestyle and the money and everything that comes with it. But, man, we got rookies that are grinding day in and day out. We got rookies that know time management. We got rookies that are putting in the work, that want to get better, that want to learn the game. And I mean, like, it just, you could just tell that they're pretty balanced in what they're trying to do on and off the field.
Man, are you the longest tenure Seahawk? I'm doing it in my head right here now that Russ is in Denver and Bobby Wagner's down here in Los Angeles. Has there been anybody else on the team that's been there as long as you, Tyler?
Nope, I'm the longest tenured person.
Pete, I guess otherwise. So I guess you might be carrying the mantle for Pete Carroll. I mean, how much has he set this stage here? You said you knew it all along during the summer. I'll be honest with you. Nobody else is talking about it. Nobody. You're right. And I'm one of them, too. I needed to see it to believe it. And now I'm believing it. I'm seeing it. How much has Pete been banging the drum that you guys have been playing it out?
Well, I mean, I didn't really think Pete had to say much to us as a team because,
right,
you know, when we came here in OTAs, like, we seen what we had. We saw that we were the most explosive team, and we saw that how fast players were. You beat players in routes and players are able to recover. You know what I mean? Like, it's stuff like that is just something that you're born with. Athleticism, height, talent, you know, all that type of stuff. But when you add in structure and you add in IQ and you add in the knowledge of the game and you have vets who are able to kind of like teach the system just like the coaches are trying to teach the system, then a lot of it is you don't get caught up in wins and losses. You get caught up in, let's just build a solid rock every time we lay the foundation. So even when you lose, you're just learning from how you lost and learning how to be able to get better because teams are just trying to attack you the same way that you got beat on defense. You know what I mean? And so it's like instead of being able to point the finger, instead of being able to get mad at each other, whatever, we just continue to keep building, continue to keep trying to lay the foundation. And just understanding that whatever happens, happens. But, you know, that's really what it is over here on this side.
And in terms of being overlooked and showing the world what you knew you had, I mean, your opponent this week can look at you and say, tell me about it, right? I mean, here come the Giants. Nobody saw that one coming either. This is the 6-1 Giants against the NFC West leading Seahawks right here. I mean, what a game. Tyler, I mean, who'd have thunk it, to use Pete's phrase, as he said on his podium last week about you being in first?
Well, you know, where the thing is, it's the NFL, and anything can happen at any given time. But, you know, also, like, a lot of people on the outside don't understand, like, You know, it's really important to be in a system that a group of guys can be able to understand and a group of guys can be able to play in. And when you have people that are able to learn, like, you know, we got new guys coming on our team and they're able to learn and they're able to adapt and they're able to listen. And that's the biggest thing for us is that we don't want to be too big, you know, big headed to where we're not listening to coaching or we're not listening to what our teammates are trying to say. We're trying to be able to help each other because we know that, okay, like in order for DK to be great at times, we as receivers have to do our part when it comes to our route running. In order for me to be great, they have to do their part. Like in order for the running backs to be great, the receivers got to make sure they're blocking. Like, so everybody has a role each and every play that we have to be able to accomplish. And so the biggest thing is just all of us making sure we're not too big for our role, you know? And so that's the things that are helping us out because the more and more that we continue to be great in our role, like, man, you're seeing tight ends having a chance to get the ball and make some plays. You're seeing people get put in different positions. Like, our offense is so cool because it's variety. And so it's just something that, you know, I think that we're learning and we're getting better at it each and every week. And, you know, regardless of when we play Detroit, even though we scored a lot of points, we're trying to figure out how can we get better? How can we be able to build? Like, it's not one of those, hey, man, y'all had a great game. You know, it's like, okay, how can we be able to get better? I know we scored 3 points here and we'll take points, but now we lost this game versus the Saints because we took 3 points. How can we build and just turn that into a touchdown without trying to get greedy? You know, so the biggest thing that I keep going back to is just being able to lay that foundation. And when you're able to do that, you're able to have a safe place to be able to have those conversations, to talk, and be able to get better.
Well, before I let you go, Tyler Lockett, I know he's not your teammate anymore, but do you stay in touch with Russ at all, Tyler?
Yeah, I talk to Russ here and there.
Because he's definitely going through it right now. I mean, the criticism is very loud, and there's a lot of personal stuff that's getting thrown in the direction that he's, you know, not a genuine, or his commercials and makes it seem like he's more focused on just winning. I'm wondering what you have to say about just the national conversation that's been around Russ the last several weeks, Tyler.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think a lot of people have said, you know, a lot of things, and you know, everybody has their own opinion and stuff like that. You know, for me, Russ is my brother. You know, he's been like one of my big brothers ever since I got here. Got the chance to be able to go to his wedding, you know, as a rookie and stuff. And so he's always been like a big brother to me. So, you know, me and him stay in contact. We stay in touch. We get to talk, you know, all that different type of stuff. Just because we're not on the same team doesn't mean that our relationship has to end. You know what I mean? Like, that's the biggest thing just with being in the league is you come and go. You never know how long your time is, but, you know, it's the friendships and the people. It's those relationships that last forever and last a lifetime. And so, you know, like, that's my brother. And so, you know, that's always going to be able to be my brother. So, you know, I wish nothing but the best for him. And just, you know, for me, I keep talking to him and all that.
Well, good luck against the Giants. It's been it always is a pleasure having you on, Tyler. Just listening to you talk and your passion for the sport, for your teammates, for life. It really is always, I always hang up the phone saying, man, I need to talk more with him. And I always appreciate you calling the program, Tyler. Thank you for calling.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
You got it. You know, I'm going to be calling your game in Germany on NFL Network.
Oh, wow.
Oh yeah. We're going to, so I'll, you know, I'll check you out. We're going to Germany together. It's going to be a heck of an experience. It's going to be amazing. I look forward to that.
Yeah. No, I'm looking forward to it too, man.
Okay. Yeah, we'll share some pretzel bread at halftime. I know Pete might not appreciate that, but we'll do that. That's my way of handling halftime. But I look forward to it, Tyler. Good luck against the Giants, and I'll see you a couple weeks in Europe.
All right. Have a good one.
You got it. Right back at you. That's Tyler Lockett of the NFC West leading Seahawks here on the Rich Eisen Show. So a couple things from that. Tyler Lockett is just such a good dude, you know, good dude. And he's the most tenured Seahawk. How about that? He's now the OG there. Now that Bobby Wagner's here and Russell Wilson is at the Harrow School and a limited basis practicing for the 2-5 Broncos.
He's there, you're here.
And how about this one too? Can Pete Carroll coach? or can Pete Carroll coach? Can Pete Carroll coach or can he coach? The guy can coach. Tell me about it. Come on. I see your reaction to it. You got to give it up. You have to give it up. I know there's still a marathon left to
They've
run.
Had some good drafts.
I know. So John Schneider can pick.
Yeah, John Schneider
can
really
coach.
Good, he's a really good
Whatever
GM.
Whatever he is selling, they're buying. In the way, hold on a second. Let's talk it out real quick. In the same way, people believe whatever Russ is selling, people are like, really? I need to buy that runner pass?
Right.
I need to sit here and figure out what runner pass is? Oh, really? You're really doing, you know, like knee lifts? You don't get jet lag?
Jet lag.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Addition
really?
By subtraction of Seattle this year. Right?
But the same thing's been ascribed to Pete that when he sells, it's just because the draft picks are good enough. You know what I mean? What he's selling, they're buying. Oh yeah, keep selling Geno, Pete. Keep selling Geno and Drew Lock because you traded away Russell Wilson because you couldn't figure out how to let him cook, even though 9 years worth of. I'm caping for Pete now, man.
I know you are. Yeah,
but it's the truth, though. You just heard it. Hey, we saw how quick we were. We saw how young and talented we were. We seen what Geno can do. We believe in it. Oh, okay, Pete. Yeah, always compete. I get it. Yeah, you needed to sell yourself to ownership after last year. Everyone is on his last legs. He can coach, man. And I'll tell you this. He beats the Giants this week. Okay? Let's just say he beats the Giants this week. Then does he have a leg up on? And I know he plays in the Pacific Northwest, and it's an East Coast bias.
Over Daboll for Coach of the Year?
Damn straight. When it all comes down to it. If he wins the division.
If they win the division. He's got to win the division.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just pointing it out. He can coach. speaking of which, there's been another trade to talk about involving an NFC East team. One was the Eagles acquiring somebody. The Cowboys acquired Jonathan Hankins from the Raiders.
Yeah, man.
The Giants keeping up pace by trading someone away.
A lot of wide receivers on the block,
yeah,
guys. Did
that's
you see
coming
this,
up. That's Chris? Coming up. And Aaron Rodgers, day after explanation of what he tells Pat McAfee. That's the latest right here on The Rich Eisen Show. And 844-204-RICH, number to dial. You can listen to the NFL on the NFL app, on the Odyssey app, on WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One Station Streams, or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, sponsored by AutoZone. When one team trades another player who is young and really, you know, talented, but not at all reaching potential, and that team can't get him on the field for some reason, and he gets on the field and flashes, and then he doesn't do anything, and then he's hurt, and then that team says, we're done, and trades him to another team. He goes from, who's going to unlock this potential? And then he goes to a certain team and it's just like, uh-oh, look out what he can do there. Oh, they must see something. Now, in past years, it would be because the Giants trade that guy away. You'd think the Giants just don't know what the hell they're doing. But they absolutely know what they're doing now. You know, Joe Shane is their new GM there. He knows what he's doing. Brian Daboll is the coach of the year front runner right now entering week 8. And Kadarius Toney was the first-round draft choice of the Giants in 2021. And he showed, when he was on the field last year, he showed like Beckham-type flash. Like game-changing type flash. He had a game against, I think, the Cowboys last year that was incredible. And then he got hurt against the Rams the next week, and then the thing was a wrap. He just got traded to the Chiefs.
Mm.
For a third-round compensatory pick, that ain't a bad pick. That's a late Friday night draft choice and a 2023 sixth-rounder. And the Chiefs are on a bye, And that's just a yet another speedy, game-changing type wide receiver if they can unlock whatever the hell's going on with Tony.
Healthy. I mean, he's been out with a hamstring all year.
I don't know what it is, because you would think the last thing the Giants, even at 6-1, should be doing is trading away talented young wide receivers. Honestly. Because Daniel Jones, God bless him, he's the offensive player of the week for the NFC, and you got Saquon and then a whole bunch of guys that aren't on your fantasy team. Mm-hmm. But it's working, and I guess Tony is going to be healthy enough to get out there for the Chiefs, and the Chiefs come back from a bye, and then watch out. Let's see him suddenly catch touchdowns, make some game breaking plays for the Chiefs when they're home against the Titans on a Sunday night when they come back from their bye in week 9. So let's close the book now, if you will, on. Well, the book was, I guess, already closed by this year's draft on Dave Gettleman's draft choices, first-round draft choices.
All gone, right?
No, they're not. No, no, no. You got Saquon. You got Daniel Jones.
Right.
They still have Dexter Lawrence on defense. DeAndre Baker was another guy from the Giants, first-rounder, who wound up on the Chiefs, but he had trouble with the law. He's out of the league right now, or he was involved. I shouldn't speak so generally. He was on front pages instead of back pages on occasion. Andrew Thomas on the line from Georgia. And then there's Kadarius Toney. See ya.
Daniel Jones is playing really well this year, so.
I know. We'll see what goes on.
You know, not making mistakes.
They got the right guy. They got the right guy coaching him. But that's a fascinating trade right there. Because the last thing, again, you'd think the Giants should figure out how to get this guy on the field. And they must have been like, we're done. That's it.
Just go. Yeah.
We've got our own thing going on here, and the guys in the room are doing it. And now all eyes are going to be like this, turning right to Kenny Golladay and say, what do we got?
Yeah, let's go, bro.
Let's go.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he might be looking right back at him saying, all right, let's go.
Let's go.
That's right.
Oh, wait a minute.
There's a new cadence in the NFL week to week in the media. Oh, yeah. It's a new cadence. Aaron Rodgers shows up on Pat McAfee's show Tuesday, and then on Wednesday explains to the media what he said to Pat McAfee on Tuesday. That's the new thing.
Have you noticed that is really a thing?
That's the new thing.
Almost like he's his own translator.
Aaron says what's on his mind to Pat, and then on Wednesday says to the media that's asked follow-up questions, you know, yeah, I said it. That's basically what it is.
Right.
And so the yeah, I said it is him saying that there's a whole bunch of mistakes being made on the team. I mean, 20% of the snaps is a lot of mistakes. And of course, people view it like Aaron's taking no accountability. He's saying, I need to play better too. But when he says that there's 20% of the players making mistakes and some of these guys are still out there and maybe the guys should be sat and the guys who aren't playing should get the reps now, you're looking at the coach and saying, well, are you coaching the guys up or not? And this is a week after he said we need to simplify things. But he said that to the media after the loss last week against Washington. But he is either calling out the coach or calling out the GM or calling out the players. Yeah, everybody's getting called out. So he was standing in front of his locker and first item up for bids was the comment about, you know, not getting enough snaps mistake free.
With our guys, there's accountability. Sammy was on a pitch count obviously last week, so we couldn't get more plays out of him. But we'd like to get Sammy back though. Hopefully Christian can play this week. But they're just, when you're struggling on offense, you got to look at everything and the details. There's been too many, what seemed like simple mental errors. And, I'm not a robot up here. So I think people in this society have a hard time hearing the truth sometimes. So I'm going to hold guys accountable. Matt's going to hold guys accountable. Brable's going to hold guys accountable. JD's going to hold guys accountable. Ben's going to hold guys accountable. Steno and Buckus going to hold guys accountable. And we need guys to focus in on the mental part of this.
There you go. Hmm. there's two things. One, he's absolutely telling the truth that everybody needs to hear. And two, when he says what he's saying, and he said after later on in the conversation with the media that nobody's come up to him and said, you shouldn't be saying this stuff. Well, if he's calling out guys, first and second year players, they're not going to go up to Aaron Rodgers and say, what gives? Yeah. They're not going to go chest to chest with the GOAT.
WTF, bro.
I don't know, but he knows his locker room better than we do. That's for damn sure.
True.
I've never even been inside
that. And again, it's just the whole concept of where he opens it up to society as a whole can't tell the truth. It's just there are, again, in society, truths and facts, and people suddenly think that their facts are the truth when the truth is the truth and facts are facts. And, you know, if you want to talk about society as a large, okay, different sets of truths and facts have arrived in this country, and their misinformation is everywhere, and your information is your information, and your information is your information. So if you really want to have a larger conversation, we can. But I don't know if this is indicative of society or not. Put it all together, Packers need to win a football game. And the problem is they got a very difficult uphill climb this very week. They need to win a football game. And if I may,
please do,
dare to add my 2 cents on the all 22 front, I have 3 words for the Packers and their offense. Run the football. Mm-hmm. This may be a problem this week, too, against the Bills. Run it. You got A.J. Dillon, you got your own Quadzilla, and you got Aaron Jones. Sometimes they just disappear. Third one, fourth and one. Roll A.J. Dillon downhill and see if he can hit the pocket and all the pins go flying.
Now the business decisions
Let's
get made when that big game's
rolling. Let's see it. Mm-hmm. Let's see it and keep doing it and doing it and doing it until you do it and do it and doing it well. How about that?
All right, LL Cool J.
I represent Queens.
Okay, so that's my opinion on the Packers offense. That's all so simple. That could be what Aaron's talking about, too. He knows his locker room more than all of us. And maybe he said just enough's enough and tell these kids it's time to wake up.
He's mad as hell and he's not going to take it anymore.
But the whole idea is just, you know, again, you look at it and you're like, man, he knows the locker room. He could be telling the truth. Other thing is, like, he's not holding himself nearly as accountable in front of the media. Maybe he's doing it behind the scenes.
Maybe.
And the other way of looking at it is like, what kid's going to go up to Aaron Rodgers and say, hey, man, what you said on McAfee is just totally out of bounds. You know, you got something to say to me, say it to my face. Maybe he's doing that, too.
I would hope some guys are doing that, but
I don't know. Maybe it's not necessary because maybe he's right. Maybe he is seeing all those mistakes and maybe they aren't being held accountable. And he's right. Maybe the coaches are holding everyone accountable. It's just the shot at society is the sort of stuff that, you know, I don't need to hear.
Well, it's just Aaron's thing, you know. I mean, he thinks he's smarter than everyone.
But the Packers need a dub.
Well, it ain't coming this week.
I don't know about that.
Come on, dude.
I believe I'm choosing the Bills on game day morning. I'll tell you that.
I mean, they're 2 touchdown underdogs for a reason.
Who the hell knows, man? Maybe they take my advice, roll A.J. Dillon downhill.
How are they going to stop Josh Allen? They couldn't stop Taylor Heineke.
I don't know. I don't know. They've got the horses up front to do it. They can do it. It is possible.
It's kind of like what I said when I picked my seventh team. You don't want to bet against Rodgers, right?
Of course
not. You just can't bet against
him. Dude, the guy, I don't see DeMille's skills diminished. But you heard what Kurt Warner said. Everyone's a little bit off. That makes him a little bit off. They got to be on soon. Jeff Passan coming up.
It could be information to change your life forever. Or the Something You Should Know podcast could just be something interesting.
Ramit Sethi, talking about being rich.
The old definition of rich had a lot to do with how much money you accumulated, but it wasn't about how to spend it. It was more about how to get it. But okay, so once you get it, what do you do with it?
In our culture, everybody tells you how to save, but nobody teaches you how to spend it.
Something You Should Know, wherever you listen.